You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Colt Molesky, bringing you yet another game day podcast as the Timberwolves take on the Indiana Pacers tonight at 7 p.m. in the Target Center. They're going to be facing off against the Eastern Conference team, the Indiana Pacers. Really excited for that matchup. First, I wanted to talk a little bit about a preview for Friday's show. Last week, I know I announced it a little bit short notice, but I wanted to give everybody plenty of time. Send in your NBA questions, whether it's about the Timberwolves specifically or about just any of the NBA teams, any college prospects that I'm looking for in the upcoming draft. Whatever basketball questions you have, send them to me. My Twitter handle is at C. Molesky. You can figure out how to spell my last name in the description of this podcast. It'll be right there. So tweet at me your questions, and I'll do my best to answer all of them. We only had a few last week, and I know there was a little bit of short notice, but if you have any NBA questions at all, let me know what they are, and I'll be addressing all of those on Friday's show. Friday's show is going to be the day that I address all the questions that I get, so make sure you're sending in lots of questions, and I'm going to do that weekly. Every week I'm going to have for the Friday show, I'm going to have a portion of it dedicated to answering Twitter questions. And again, whether it's about the Timberwolves, whether it's about the NBA, playoff outlook, specific players, teams, matchups coming up. If you have a game that you have circled on your calendar in November and you have a question about it, I'll get to it. I'll get to all of those. Let me know what they are. And go ahead and tweet them at me, and I'll be collecting those throughout the next couple of days to get ready for Friday's show. So, now that that's taken care of, let's look at the Indiana Pacers matching up versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. First, I want to direct you to a podcast I did, was that yesterday, I believe it was? I don't know. I'm very busy between all the jobs and school. I'm losing track of my days, but I do know the Timberwolves play today, so that's a solid win for me. But I had a podcast where I had host of the Locked On Pacers come on, Adam Friedman. He came on the show and talked a little bit about the matchups that he's looking for about the Pacers team rolling in to Minneapolis. So definitely check that out. But I'm going to give you some game day matchups, some game day thoughts and kind of feelings towards the game and how the Timberwolves will fare, as I always do when the Timberwolves play. And so I would listen to that one after listening to this podcast if you haven't listened to it yet. But he referenced the matchup that I would say it sounded like he was probably the most concerned about the matchup between the Sabonis and Towns, the two centers on each team. Now, if you haven't seen yet, we also talked about this in that show, but Miles Turner, he has a concussion. He has neck soreness as well. It was announced, about 20 hours or so by the Indy Star is where I found the first story I looked at, that Miles Turner will be out against the Timberwolves, and it looks like he'll probably be out Wednesday too versus the Oklahoma City Thunder when the Pacers play them. So he is definitely going to be a big hole that the Pacers are going to try and fill, but they're going to struggle with it. You saw the game on Saturday, the Pacers versus the Heat. They really struggled in the paint, and the Heat didn't have Whiteside either. He has a bruised knee, so he's going to be out for a few games, and the Miami Heat didn't have Hassan Whiteside, their star center, against the Pacers, and they still evened out in points in the paint, 56 apiece, and in second chance points, they had a fairly good showing, 12 points. The Pacers beat them out in that category, but rebounds definitely helped that, and having a big guy in the middle helps that for sure. And the Miami Heat fared pretty well without their star, and so as good as Sabonis has been playing, that is definitely a factor in this game, and it's something that despite every other matchup, and there's some really solid matchups in this game, despite all of those, this is the matchup that you have to really watch, especially if you're a Timberwolves fan, and the matchup that Towns really needs to dominate in. He really needs to take it to Sabonis, and he needs to win 90% of the time throughout this entire game. I'm not going to say he needs to win 100% of the time because Sabonis still has looked fairly good throughout this season, but he needs to win 90% of the matchup between Sabonis and himself in the paint. He needs to be able to grab those rebounds, to be grabbing putbacks, to be a guy who's going to win in the post. I really want to see him dominate Sabonis in this game because he's the better basketball player. He's the better athlete. He's the better center. He's more versatile. He's the one who should be ahead throughout this entire matchup against Sabonis. That's just the way it is. It's just as simple as you can break down a basketball matchup. He is better than Sabonis. He should be dominating him. I anticipate something like 30 points and 11 or 12 rebounds for Towns. Another matchup, Oladipo versus Butler. I definitely think that Butler will be guarding Oladipo for the majority of this game. Obviously, they're going to try and screen Butler or Oladipo away from Butler. But for the majority of this game, Butler is going to be glued to Oladipo. That'll be interesting just because Oladipo has looked very good throughout this season. Against the Heat, the most recent game they played, he had 28 points. He's averaging over 20 points a game through the first few games of the young Pacers season. And it just, I think people maybe underestimated, might be a good word for it, how they thought he would do in the Pacer system, how his production level should be anticipated, just because he was in that little bit of a time capsule in OKC where they have Russell Westbrook going for the triple doubles, kind of out to prove that he can do it without Kevin Durant. Last season he won the MVP, but that didn't leave much production when he was averaging 30 to 31 shots a game, much production left for his teammates. And so you have him progressively growing in Orlando, the team that drafted Oladipo, and then you stick him on a team with Russell Westbrook, and he's kind of in this growth time capsule where he's not really doing much of anything except maybe just waiting for the ball in the corner every once in a while. And now you put him back on the pace, you put him on the Pacers, and now he's back where he can be growing. He can be one of the main guys on the team. He can be a primary scorer, and you see him making another jump in growth. And I think it was wrong to underestimate what he could do for this Pacers team, not only because it's just a bunch of younger guys who are just trying to be competitive in these games, and so he kind of brings an edge to the Pacers from that aspect, but also because now he has a chance to actually showcase what he can do for an offense. So that'll be really interesting now on the flip side to see Butler handle him, and not only what Oladipo does against a really elite defender that Butler is, but also who steps up for the Pacers and who can be a problem for the Timberwolves when you take Oladipo out of the equation. So the bench for them has been really weak. So you're looking at other starters. You're looking at Young, at Bogdanović. You're looking at other guys to try and step up. Wiggins will probably get one of those guys. I think there's a possibility, too, that Wiggins might switch off of a couple different guys just depending on who's feeling pretty hot, because I'm looking at this roster without Miles Turner, and honestly, and I know this seems like kind of like a foolhardy thing to say when the Wolves, after three games, really haven't proven a ton anyways, but there's nobody after Oladipo and Turner that really scare me on the Pacers roster. There's nobody that really sticks out to me that could really, two or three guys that could really beat the Wolves if you're taking away Miles Turner with the injury and Oladipo with Butler. And I think that means that Wiggins might play one or two different players. I think he might play Young a little bit throughout this game. Bogdanović was the prediction from Adam as far as who Wiggins would guard on the defensive side, but he could switch off a couple people just based on who's really feeling the shot outside of Oladipo. And I think really the keys here are Towns getting fed on the offensive side and Butler just playing the elite level that you know he can hit on the defensive side, making sure that he is really locking up Oladipo, because outside of Oladipo, none of these guys really concern me. I think that the game plan for the Thunder's game was you want to let the bench try and beat you, or guys like guys like Steven Adams, guys like Andre Roberson. You want to let those guys beat you, and you just don't want to get beat by Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, and Russell Westbrook. And if you have to collapse in your defense on one of those three guys and leave guys like Adams open, so be it. But you don't want to get beat by those guys. And as far as this Pacers roster, nobody is concerning to me outside of the Oladipo Turner duo, and injury took away a really solid matchup between that would have been between Turner and Towns. But because he's out, I don't know if this team, I don't want to say this team is going to get blown out by the Timberwolves, because I just don't know if the gelling of this offense and defense has gotten there yet. But this is a game that the Timberwolves definitely should win and should have little problem winning, just because the matchup is pretty lopsided in the favor of the Timberwolves. Now focusing a little bit on the Timberwolves roster, Wiggins obviously with that crazy, crazy game-winning shot to beat the Thunder in the last second of the game, throwing that up. Social media, I've seen people actually write articles about it as well. The Towns screen to free Wiggins on the shot, that people thought that was probably a foul. First of all, if you're looking for a ref to help you decide a game, I'm never really on board with that. I'd rather just have the players play in the last 5 minutes of a fourth quarter and keep the refs out of it, out of the equation. But secondly, no ref is going to call that in the last couple seconds. I don't know why this is even a topic of discussion. Maybe if he punches him in the face, then. But it's like in football when it's on the ball's on the 5 yard line and a team's trying to score to win the game, and you're looking at the wide receivers in the corners, and you're not going to really look to call a pass interference. I mean, if it's so blatant, if the corner is yanking the receiver to the ground by his face mask, then you probably have to call that one. But you're not looking to throw the flag on a pass interference in that situation. You're not looking to call a foul on a screen unless it's so ridiculously blatant that you have to in the last few seconds of a basketball game. So I don't know why that's this topic of discussion. It was a great just throw up and pray from Wiggins, and a great way to end a really phenomenal night. And it kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about most today, which is I really love the look that Wiggins has and the matchup of Butler and Wiggins so far in the offense. I wrote about this on the beginning of the week in the top 10 things you should be looking for week 2 of the NBA season. Go check that out on Zone Coverage. But if you haven't read that, I really love the Butler-Wiggins combo. I really love how they've been playing off each other. I talked about this on other shows as well, but just really love that combination. But specifically Wiggins, he looked really good against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and he played Paul George really well. He did a great job of not only taking advantage of some really nice shots that Jimmy Butler gave him, but he also did a good job creating some shots. He had 4 assists in that game. Did a good job of getting the ball to a couple other players. He had 7 rebounds. I really like that he was getting to the glass and getting some boards, 2 steals, and just on the defensive side, he played Butler. Or goodness gracious, names today are tripping me up. He played Paul George really well, I thought, through most of that game. Paul George finished with 14 points, and he shot 20 times, only made 6 of them. He was a 30% shooter on the day against Wiggins, who was on him for the majority of the game. And I thought he played him extremely well. And of course, in the fourth quarter, Paul George has that 3 that he makes late, has a couple baskets, and you can watch. I know a bunch of people watch the fourth quarter of the game. That's By the way, that's why I have a lot of people telling me when I'm talking to people Monday and Tuesdays that they watch the fourth quarter of the game. How are you not tuning in for all that game? I strongly encourage people to watch the entire Timberwolves games because that was a really good game. And to come in and then make sweeping decisions about the defense of the Timberwolves in the fourth quarter, yeah, that's when you want to be tight on defense. But you're also playing Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, and Paul George. They're going to break loose some points, especially in crunch time. And that was going to be a close game, and the fact that the Wolves were able to pull out a win, even if it is on a little bit of a Hail Mary sort of shot, is really impressive. Paul George played really poorly against Wiggins, and I'd like to credit Wiggins for that defense. I think Carmelo Anthony played fairly poorly throughout most of that game as well, and he was just having a pretty bad shooting night. Obviously, he had the go-ahead three, which looked like it might be enough to win the game before Wiggins threw up that shot to eventually win the game. But Carmelo Anthony was shooting pretty poorly before that, and he had a 28.6% three-point shooting on the night. So defensively, the Wolves looked really good, and I just wanted to single out Wiggins because there was a lot of skepticism about the $148 million contract they signed going into the season. I'm not going to say that one game defines why he was worth the contract, but I will say it's a good way early in the season to point to and say, see, that's the ceiling that we're going for, right? That's what we want to see from Wiggins. We want to see him holding players to really bad shooting percentage, especially if you can hold them to 12.5% shooting from three. That is fantastic. And he put up 27 points. That's the Wiggins that we envision when we gave him the $148 million contract. And even though it's just one game, that's a little glimpse into the future, I think, of what they envision Wiggins' ceiling. And so the fact that he's having, and now he might have a bad defensive game against the Pacers. There, I promise you, there will be really bad defensive games for Wiggins in the next month, 2 months. But when you're sitting in November and he gives up a ton of points in whatever game, just remember games like this. This is the ceiling that they're shooting for Wiggins, and this is the player that he can become. And to bail out on him because he has one or two bad defensive performances is a mistake. Let him grow, let him develop. This is what they're envisioning when they sign Wiggins to that deal, when they ink that deal. And I think he can reach that ceiling. I think there are glimpses of it. Obviously, you saw it against the Thunder. I thought it was a glimpse of it. And so there are even better times to come for the Timberwolves. So now moving on, a couple key things that I want to see happen in this game for the Timberwolves. First of all, we talked about Towns. I guess that you can classify that as a key matchup I'm looking for. But specifically the guards. I want to see the guards elevate their play even more. T had a really good night against Oklahoma City. He had 19 points. He had nine assists, 6 rebounds. I want to see him continue to build on that. I don't know if he has to do too much more scoring wise, but maybe throwing a couple more assists would be really good for this team, just to have another facilitator. I think Butler has taken on the role of doing a lot of the facilitating and playmaking to open guys up on the offense. Now if you have Teague doing that to pair with him, and if you Teague played a lot of minutes with guys like Crawford and Tyus Jones, if you have him doing that with those guys on the floor as well, now you have something really, really cooking on the offensive side for the Timberwolves. Also at point guard, Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones had 3 points against the Spurs. That was probably his best game against the Spurs, honestly, in the opener for the Timberwolves. I want to see him bust out. He's been getting pretty solid minutes. He's been getting some good floor time, at least through the first couple of games. He only had 8 minutes against the Thunder. But I think he's going to get, the Pacers are another game, he's going to get another 15 to 22 minutes. I want to see him really do something with those minutes. I want to see him put up 10 to 15 points. I want to see him get 5 to 6 assists. I want to see him capitalize on the minutes that he got against teams like the Jazz and the Spurs. I really think that he's going to get another big minute night here tonight against the Pacers. I want to see him really do something with those minutes. Really impressed me, because I think that Thibodeau really believes in this guy, and I think it would be really cool at home for the kind of hometown guy to have a really big night. And I think it would be really encouraging to have Tyus Jones show that he's got – we already saw in these early games that Crawford has it off the bench, that he looks really good off the bench. Now let's see it from Tyus Jones. If I can have Crawford and Tyus Jones looking phenomenal off the bench, now this is a really scary team, because now they have a couple guys who can come off the bench and really hurt you along with a great starting five. That's what I need to see from this game. I'm looking at the guards if I'm looking at just something that I want to see elevated in play. And again, recapping a little bit, specific matchups, I'm looking for Wiggins to have another solid defensive night. I think the Pacers are going to try and really spread the floor and get the ball away from the center, because they know that they're at a mismatch with the Towns Sabonis matchup in the paint. So they're going to try and draw away from that matchup by shooting out from the perimeter. So you want to see guys like Wiggins and Butler really hold down the three-point shooting of the Pacers. And I want to see Towns just dominate, just clean up in the paint against Sabonis. I want to see him have over 30 points. I want to see him have 11 to 12 rebounds. I want to see a very dominant performance from Towns. I want to see Tyus Jones do really well off the bench. And I want to see Teague maybe do even a little more facilitating than he did in the last game against the Thunder. So that's what I'm looking for. I hope that the game goes really well, obviously, for the Timberwolves. I'm predicting about a 115-102 score in the Timberwolves win. I think this is going to be a fairly high-scoring one because, again, without Turner, you're looking for guys to score a lot of points. You're not really looking for the Pacers to make this a grind-in-the-paint kind of game like the Utah Jazz tried to make it against the Timberwolves. They need to pull away from the paint to try and minimize the damage that Towns is going to do on the defensive side. And so I think they're going to shoot a lot more threes, and they're NBA players. I think they're going to have a couple solid runs at least early on before the Timberwolves really sink in and find a rhythm on both sides. I think they're going to try and take advantage of the rest they have and try and stretch the floor a little bit. And then you see later in the game those matchup advantages that the Timberwolves have really come to fruition and really dominate the game late. So that's my prediction, about 115-102 with a Timberwolves win. And I hope you all have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the game tonight. This has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.